Canada Hill, Oakfield to Brunswick Place, Cowes. This is Vectis Radio. Live and local. This is the multi-award winning Vectis Radio, broadcasting online, on the app, Hospedia, and FM 104.6. Bringing you the very latest news from the Garden Isle and the world from our studios at the Riverside Centre in Newport.
Peers have backed Martin's Law, a proposed legislation requiring UK venues expecting 200-plus attendees to prepare for potential terror attacks. Fegan Murray's son, Martin Hesh, was one of the 22 people killed in the Manchester Arena terrorist attack.
It was a really happy day for him, which I'm relieved at, because he'd been out celebrating all day with his friends. There was a whole group of them, two of them had a birthday, and so they celebrated that.
Donald Trump says both sides in the Ukraine war are ready for peace. He told US Congress that President Zelensky was now prepared to sign a deal on mining minerals, a deal he rejected last week. He also claimed Vladimir Putin wants to end the conflict too. The Treasury has earmarked several billion pounds in draft spending cuts to welfare and other government departments. It comes amid growing expectations that the Chancellor's room for manoeuvre has all but been wiped out. Graphic violent content and unhealthy body image or eating habits. Some of the things parents say they're worried their kids are being exposed to on the internet. A survey from online safety charity Internet Matters has found over two-thirds of children have experienced online harm. The Molly Rose Foundation, meanwhile, is urging the government to commit to addressing online harms. Gareth Hill is their spokesman.
83% of parents would support Keir Starmer to personally promise that children will be better protected during his premiership. We need stronger legislation.
It's bad news for drivers today as petrol prices have reached a six-month high. That's according to RAC, who say filling a family-sized petrol car now costs an average of £76.81. And a new documentary to celebrate the life and legacy of drag star The Vivian is in production. Dear Viv will premiere later this year. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Dave Cronin.
Car dealers do like acronyms for finance packages. PCP, PL, HP, LOL. Obviously not the last one. Well, millions were missold, and you could be entitled to thousands of pounds in compensation.
Now, absolutely delighted to welcome our guest today, Eileen. You are here to tell us all about Zoe, your daughter. It's a difficult story, because you lost Zoe 5 years ago, but it's a very important story. So for anyone who's listening who maybe hasn't heard of Zoe's Law, do you mind sort of telling us what happened?
So it was the beginning of April in lockdown 2020, and it was about the 4th of April. So he'd gone to come home from work that day, called me and said, oh, I'm going for a jog tonight. Can you let the dog out, take the dog for a jog? So off he went with her. The next day she said she ached a bit on the Thursday. And then on the Friday morning she went into work. She worked at St Mary's, and she phoned me from there crying, saying she was in so much pain. And then she was saying that she had tried to teach the little boys forward rolls the night before, so maybe she pulled a muscle where she'd gone running and done that. And I did say to her, it's the start of lockdown, you've been scanning COVID patients, so best you go into work, let them scan you, which they did. She didn't have COVID and went home. They thought it might could just been a bug from the children. And then at about 11:30 that night, she called me crying and crying, like screaming in pain. And I went and got her. I took her to the hospital. Obviously, wasn't allowed in because it was lockdown. And she had they did a scan, and she was they scanned her, and she called me all night long. She was talking to me on the phone, saying, "What if I've got cancer? What's wrong with me?" And I just kept saying, "Zoe, don't worry. You know, they can cure cancer nowadays. Don't worry about that." Now when I look back to that day, where she was a radiographer, I think when she saw the scan herself, she knew more than what she was letting me on, because I think she told Charlie, her brother, Marie, her sister, my husband, that if I broke down, she wouldn't have coped. Mm. So she didn't want me to know too much. I know that now. But all night I spoke to her and just said, don't worry, don't worry. You know, if we've got, doesn't matter where we've got to take you, what we've got to do. If you've got cancer, we'll get you treatment. And so the next day, her boss, they took her in to do a CT scan. I sat outside the hospital, obviously, since you weren't allowed in. And she did call me, say, as she was on her way back to the room, and she said, she said to me, Mum, Graham, who was her boss, who scanned her, she goes, he's crying. And I was like, don't worry, Zoe, don't worry, you'll be fine. And they said that they saw her liver was completely full of cancer. They sent her to test her lymph nodes on the Monday. I think those results came through by Wednesday, and they said then, because I kept Googling everything as you do, oh, don't worry, we can get you a liver transplant, we can do this, we can do that. Hmm. And they, the doctors had sort of said, well, if it's primary liver, it's a possibility. But when they tested her lymph node, they said it's melanoma. You've got melanoma cancer, and it's... And then they said to her, have you got any moles that have been bothering you on your body? So she showed one on her back, which was quite low down, kind of sort of below the knicker line. So, and it was from that. But she had gone 5 years before to the doctor about that mole because it became itchy and it used to bleed. And they just basically said to her, it was just a tag. It's fine, don't worry about it. Then... Three years before she died, so that would be 2 years after that. 3 years before she died, she went back again because it was sort of, it'd gone funny shape and a bit bobbly as well. Mm. And that doctor said to her, it's rubbing on your genes. It's nothing to worry about, don't worry about it. So she didn't worry about it. And then I went with her 2 years before she died. It was one of the children's appointments, and I said to her, I'm not happy with this, I'm coming with you. Mm. So I went and we showed it to the doctor, and exactly the same thing. They said, oh, God's sake, Zoe, we're going to prescribe you some sleeping tablets and things for like depression, because you're just a stressed young mother, because you're trying to juggle your work, the children, your mortgage, you're stressed and you're worrying about things, and it is your genes rubbing on it, don't worry about it. And I said to the doctor then, well, hold on a minute, don't you test these? Can you get it tested? And she said, we don't have the funding to do that anymore, and if you want to get it tested, go and find a beautician that will do it for you.
So that was the recommendation they gave?
Yeah.
And that's what you then did?
I researched some beauticians. I found one that had been a doctor for 17 years and had now running a beauty clinic. So I thought, well, that would most probably be the more sensible choice to speak to that person where they'd been a doctor.
Mm.
So I made the appointment. We went there. She looked at Zoe's back and said, it just does look like a tag to me, but I'll take a sample of it. And we'll get it tested. And I remember standing at the end of that bed. I know now she only shaved it off because it's been reported to us after. It was only shaved off. It wasn't cut out properly. She stood holding it in the little pot at the end of the bed saying, oh, I'll send this away for testing and get back to you. And we didn't hear anything. And you kind of like thought, you know, well, OK, we haven't heard anything. That's good news.
Yeah. No news is good news, they say.
Good news. So we sort of did then say, oh, you... did you get any results back? And they just said, oh, no, it was okay, it was just a tag, and they've thrown it away.
Mm.
And then, so that was 2 years
So they did actually
before.
Run the test?
They didn't do no tests on it at all.
But they told you they did?
They said they were going to, but they didn't. Okay. And since after Zoe went, obviously I did ask them why they did that, and they said, oh, in their terms and conditions, they don't have to test moles if they don't want to.
So there were so many opportunities here for this to have been tested.
Mm.
Yeah.
5 years before Zoe died, if that had been picked up then,
they
potentially a very different outcome.
Yeah, well, some doctors have spoken to me since about it, and they've said that, specialist dermatologists, and they said that maybe not even the five-year one before, the 3 years before, if they definitely had picked it up then, they estimated her to live to 86.
Yeah.
Right.
If it had been dealt with then, it could have been treated.
Yeah.
And none of this would have happened.
And I know from what I've read that once that diagnosis was had, actually Zoe died. It was about 55 days
after on the day they said to it's melanoma.
So no time at all for anyone to kind of take in what was going on or deal with it. So obviously her health deteriorated very quickly.
Well, I remember going to they sent her to the Lighthouse Clinic. They cut. It must have been about this long. It was about 8 inch long across her back, and removed whatever else was there. They removed what they did, stitched it up. They referred her to, her name was Dr. Yeo. She was a specialist in melanoma, who got flown down from up in London to Southampton. I took Zoe over. The Lighthouse Clinic arranged for us to go and see her. Went to see Dr. Yeo. I remember walking in and she was stood leaning on the door, you know, just going, she was going, Zoe, she said, who are you, Zoe? You're more famous than the Queen at the moment. Because all her doctors who she worked with at the hospital, they had all gone everywhere. I can't ever thank them enough from the hospital. They tried to find her help and treatment. Yeah. And she just said, Zoe, it is stage 4 melanoma cancer, it's terminal. But I didn't listen to that.
No.
I didn't listen to it because I was thinking,
no.
Well, you do. You stay optimistic, don't you? So you don't ever want to think this is done and dusted.
Yeah. But, Zoe was like started to shake a bit, and I was like, "It's fine, Zoe. Don't worry, it's fine." And Dr. Yeo said, "We've got a new drug with immune therapy. I'm happy to give you a double dose of that to start next week, and then in a month's time we'll do another double dose, and it may help." You know, reduce it or keep it under control. Well, you know, not stop it spreading more. And she was telling us then, she said, each of these doses is £36,000 each. And I remember thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have to sell my house, I'm going to sell everything, I don't care what it costs. And she said, no, I'm doing it for Zoe.
Yeah.
And on the ferry back, Zoe was saying to me, Mum, did you listen to her? And I said, yeah, she don't know what she's talking about, Zoe. She wouldn't give you £76,000 worth of medication if she thought you were going to die. So forget that. Mm. We're going to do it year by year. You're going to have a hard year, yes, we know, and you might have to have bits cut out, but you're going to get better. So that's it. And that's all I kept saying. She goes, you need to listen. I went, no, they wouldn't give you that if you weren't going to work. And she did have the first immune therapy, but she had quite severe reactions to it, and she had to keep going backwards and forwards into hospital.
Yeah.
And it was, she was too ill to go for the next one.
So, unfortunately, Zoe passed away. How old was she when she passed away?
26.
So, 26, so mother of two lovely boys. And I know she asked you something, didn't she, before she died, which was to make sure that people knew her story.
Yeah, she did. That was all she was saying, like, just make other people aware. It's also, she said, not so much for her. She said from her little boys. She said, I don't want anyone else to go through this, their children to go through losing their mummy. Yeah.
So what's happened as a result of that? We now have Zoe's Law.
There's about almost just under 40,000 signatures on there. So we did start Zoe's Law in the beginning, thinking, right, we'll do this, we'll raise awareness. We'll try to make it, to raise as much awareness as you can for everyone, that if you've got a mole or something, don't go to a beautician, go to your GP. On the island, you've got the Lighthouse Clinic. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
Heard wonderful things about what they do there, actually.
Absolutely fantastic. I can never thank them enough for everything. I mean, when I went in there after Zoe died to thank them, one of the doctors was sort of in tears, and that's what he said to me. He goes, I have never in my life seen someone so beautiful, who looks so well and beautiful, walk in here and be so bad, so ill. Mm. He said, that's why we wanted to get her the immune therapy, to give her just a little bit more time with her boys.
See, there's a few people I don't think know what actual Lighthouse is as well. I don't know if you can obviously describe it to people.
It's part of the NHS, the hospital. It's the dermatology clinic for anything with your skin. They're based in, not at the hospital, they're in Newport.
Is it in Lugley Street?
Yeah. They're back there. You can go in and make an appointment, private appointment, which obviously you will have to pay for, or you can go to your GP and you have to be referred by your GP to go there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I've heard from many people how they go above and beyond.
They do.
For different things. So Zoe's Law, remind us of the principle. So if you have any kind of tag or mole or mark on your skin that you're worried about, you go and see your GP, you get a referral, they're going to have to take a sample at the very least, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the law is just that it should always be tested, isn't it?
It should always be tested, yeah. I mean, even... they should test it, always test it. Because obviously when I went to the GP with Zoe, they didn't.
Yeah.
She said, we don't do it anymore. We don't have the funding for it. I know they still struggle. I know they've got the dermo things that they look through now to check it all. But the thing is, you have to keep going back as well. Some people, I've heard people come back to me say, oh, I went back, you know, 3-4 times before they finally listened to me, sent me, and I've got it.
Yeah.
I'm stage 1 or 2, so lucky. You know, hopefully lucky enough, but...
I think it's something that melanoma is a cancer that a lot of people think, oh, well, that's curable.
Yeah, you do. And you just cut it off right away and it's gone.
If it's caught early enough, but obviously Zoe was a case where, because it hadn't been caught early enough, it had led to other secondary cancers.
And you don't often see the effects of it until it's too bad. I mean, Zoe didn't start getting in pain and that until it was
really,
really bad. I think... Yes, it was so bad. Her liver was absolutely full, and then she was in so much pain with it.
So I know you were telling me earlier, you get a lot of people approaching you asking you to look at different body parts.
Yes,
which I'm sure has its humorous moments as well.
Embarrassing moments.
Yeah. So what advice do you give people when they say, "Oh, what do you think of this? What should I do?"
I usually do look at it. I mean, I look, and I always say, "I'm not a doctor. I don't know. Please go to your GP, or if you can afford it, just go to the Lighthouse Clinic and ask to see them. But if not, just go to your GP and don't take no for an answer. You know your own body.
Persistence.
You know your own body, and you know, not becoming a pest, but you know your own body. I did explain to you, somebody I work with was really upset that he wasn't being listened to. He's only 18. So I asked his permission to speak to his doctor surgery to book him an appointment. And I did, and they were being quite difficult for me, even though he was sitting there giving permission.
But it's been checked out now, and he's fine.
He's fine. He's had treatment. He's fine.
And can we also just sort of a bit of myth busting? Because again, I think, you know, growing up, I mean, I'm of the age when we didn't even put sun cream on when we were little, and. You know, there's that idea, well, it couldn't be a melanoma, for example, if it's in an area of my body that isn't exposed to the sun.
Mm. No, that's all false. Yeah. Zoe's was below her nickel line.
Yeah.
So even if she, I mean, if she, to be fair, she didn't really even like the sun.
Mm.
But if she had been in the sun, it would have been covered by her bathing costume or bikini or whatever. You can get it on the palms of your feet.
Yeah.
Palms of your hand, on the soles of your feet. Under your fingernails, if you see something like a mole or something coming up under your fingernails, go and get it checked. Just get it checked.
And anything new. And I think also the idea is, you know, make sure there's someone in your life who can have a look at the bits of your body that you can't see so easily.
Yeah.
Your back, for instance.
Yeah.
So actually, that's the message to, if in doubt, check it out.
Yeah, definitely.
So obviously, a lot of people do get things like moles and skin tags, and everyone much where he looks at me thinking, crikey, have I got a problem there? And I worry about it as well. But then you also think to yourself, I don't want to go and waste the doctor's time if it's nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that's much what holds a lot of people from ever going in and getting these things checked out. Also feeling like you said, like sticking out, obviously backing that 18-year-old nipper.
Yeah.
That whether they're actually going to listen to your request as well. And that's not knocking the NHS or the doctors or anything, because they've all got a busy life. But at the same time, putting that sense of urgency over to them is quite tough sometimes when people don't have the confidence to.
I think if you see anything changing, definitely if you see something changing.
So the signs to look out for, that something that's maybe new appeared.
Changing. And
it's changing shape or colour.
Yeah. And especially, you sometimes can get some very tiny little, very dark ones that you most probably wouldn't think, well, that's just a little one. Those ones
can be
dark
problem.
Ones as well,
And so, as you said, if it's bleeding, itchy...
Yeah, itching,
or
bleeding,
just anything
changing shape.
Sore.
Anything you think it's irritating you or... I mean, on Zoe's Law page, we do it, and I know the Lighthouse Clinic do it as well. There are... we have the charts on there, so you can,
have a look. But you shouldn't be your own doctor.
No, you can look on there and think, that looks like that.
If people would like to get in touch, you've got a Facebook page, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got Zoe's Law Facebook page. Yeah. I get lots of people contact me through Facebook, send me lots of messages. I did have, because I said I was coming here today, I had about 6 messages overnight.
Mm.
And there was a couple of them on there that said thank you to Zoe's Law. They went... were persistent and went and got checked. One of them was they've got it, but it's being treated, but not it's not at that advanced stage. But they thank me, you know. So even have people from America saying, so, thank
about
you.
Say how far afield has actually you been contacted? That's America, so it's good reach on that.
Yeah. A wonderful legacy. I mean, you know, awful that it ever came to this for Zoe. But she saved lives.
That is the truth, and can
compliment you and your family on the strength you've shown to keep going on this campaign, because it's so important.
And talking about it as well, just you sat there right now, you know, you're so cool and composed, and that's a real credit to you.
I have to think, I mean, my children, to me, were my gift from God.
Yeah.
I couldn't have children to begin with. I had endometriosis, went through loads of operations. And then all three of them arrived, and it was like, oh, my God, like, they're my gift from God. And you can't ever explain that. But I just think we have all the little signs, you know, that the children, they see a robin, a feather, a butterfly, a dragonfly. Oh, Mummy's here, Mummy's here.
Yeah.
We do all that. And I think as though every second of every day, you know, like with love and laughter at the funny things. And,
Well, you know, thank you so much for coming and telling us about Zoe. And I'm sure there will be lots of people out there now who will also think of Zoe, and hopefully she'll save a few more lives.
And if I can just add one thing as well, because one thing when we had Charlie in, he made it very clear that obviously Zoe's Law, as well as charity, it's more so a petition. And people need to get on there
and
please sign it, because I know I've been on there and done it, but again, to help push these actions through and get more attention on it, you need signatures.
Bob Seeley did take it to Parliament about 2 years ago. He spoke about it in Parliament, and the Health Secretary sent me a letter basically saying, sorry for your loss, unfortunately there's not enough money in the NHS pot for doctors to test every mole that comes into their surgery. So we're thinking, right, if we can get at least 100,000
So where can people go to sign the signature? Is there a link
Yeah, Zoe's Law. Just click on Zoe's Law. You can Google it, go on Facebook. I mean, if anyone ever wants to talk to me, they can contact me on Facebook. I absolutely find Charlie as well. Zoe's sister Marie, the same. We'll always talk to everyone and try and help everyone. I don't mind if they want to come into where I work and say, can I have a word with you? People have done that with me already.
As I say, thank you so much for coming and talking to us today. We're going to have to end it there, and we've got more music for you now.